They say that a day is a long time in politics. They also say that time flies, and it's been around 90 days now or so since the new Labour administration took control of the City of York Council. And amazingly, it's nearly 2 months since we last spoke to Claire Douglas, the leader of the council. And Claire's back with us at Y1 Radio at the moment. Claire, welcome back.
Thank you. It's great to be here.
Well, I'm Dave Parker. Wayne Chadwick is with me in the studio as well.
I'm here in the sidelines.
So, Claire, how have those first 90 days been?
Good. Yeah, I think it's been really positive. Pete Kilbane and myself and the other executive members have been out and about a lot in the city, meeting with residents and also organisations that are key to the success of York. The reception has been very welcoming, very optimistic, also very can-do, and we're on with getting things done now. It's been a great period.
So last time we spoke, it was about a month after the election and before the first meeting of the full council, the first new meeting. That's now taken place. That was, what, a couple of weeks ago, I think it was,
yes,
wasn't it?
Yes, 20th of July.
How did that go? What was the atmosphere like at the meeting?
Yeah, it was very good. I think, as I said to you previously, you know, the preparation that we put into becoming the new administration, 2 years of getting to know our city and its priorities, really stood us in great stead. And at the council meeting, we were very well prepared. We had our emergency budget to support our getting our pledges implemented, everything passed through, and we're just very keen to continue getting on with it.
Well, last time we spoke about some of the pledges that you made on the run-up to the election, Wayne and I asked the questions last time, but this time we thought we'd ask Y1 Radio listeners the questions that they want us to ask you. So if you're okay with that, we'll put one or two of the questions that we've
Absolutely.
Had over the last few days mm-hmm. to you. We'll start off with a guy called Daryl Douglas, who I'm assuming is no relation
no
to you.
No relation.
But there you go. Who says, and I'll read what he sent in the email to us. It says, "You need to ask Claire why there is still no sign of the reversal of the blue badge closure in the city. She promised it would not take long to sort out. Is this the same old, say one thing, and then when elected, forget everything that was said?"
No, it's not same old. Essentially, we're on with it, we're getting it done, but I say to people, I really wish that I could walk into the council and click my fingers and things change. That isn't how a large publicly accountable organisation works, unfortunately. I suppose some would say that's good, some would say that's bad, but from our position, it is frustrating that things can't happen more quickly, but we have to follow a decision-making process within the council to make sure that everything is done correctly, that we're publicly accountable, and we followed all the advice. So we are really pushing to get it done, but unfortunately, we can't just click our fingers. So please keep your eyes open, everybody. We're hoping to get it done in the autumn. Decisions will come through executive very soon, so please be patient with us.
Claire, one of the things that I've noticed, I've been reading in the local press recently, is that you are obviously having to consider security issues, some of which you wouldn't be able to discuss on the radio, etc. Is that correct? There has to be some sort of compromise on this blue badge issue, which you have to seriously consider.
Oh, absolutely, yes. We've said that right from the outset, and disabled community understand that as well, that keeping the city centre safe is very important. And a very good example of this is our Christmas market, because that is our biggest, largest risk during the year. So we have to take into account what MI5 are telling us, what the police are telling us. And then, as I've said previously as well, at the end of the day, it's my job as leader of the council to take all that information and come to a decision. And that's what we're in the process of doing.
Are you able to give us a taste of what it may look like at this stage or not?
What we're hoping to be able to do is to get city centre access into the Blake Street area in the initial stages. We'd like to see it down Goodrum Gate as well, but there are some considerations that we have to look at around King's Square and pedestrian safety. We're really optimistic, but it has to be done correctly and safely, so that's where the patience comes
in. So do you actually think it could be phased? Is it likely
yes.
it could be phased and then monitor, phase and monitor?
Yes, right. yes, yeah. yes.
And of course, I think think going back to one of Daryl's points here, which was same old, same old, same one thing, and then nothing happens. Do you think there is a kind of a bit of a lack of understanding of the fact that actually when the council makes a decision at a meeting to do something, that that's actually the start of the process, isn't it, really? That's not the end of it, and these things can't be magically happen the day after, and the council can't really allocate the office of time to it too much until the political decisions have been made. Is that a fair comment?
It's definitely a procedure that has to be followed, and listeners out there will absolutely understand, you know, it's them that funds what the council does through their council tax, and so we have to be held to account for that. And if we were making decisions on the whim without the public being able to see what was happening, they would not be happy. So we absolutely have to follow our council procedures, but you know, we want to get this done as quickly as we possibly can. So the allocation of officer time to it is already happening. The money's there to do it, but it is the decision making that takes the time, unfortunately. So, you know, I apologise for that on one level, but on another I don't, because it has to be done correctly.
You won't be surprised to know that a good chunk of the questions that we got asked or to ask you were about this subject. So we're not going to run through all of those, because obviously a lot of them are exactly the same, but the one from Daryl kind of summed up the situation there. Jackie Phillips is in Heslington, and I suppose this is a more general question that Jackie's asking. Has it proved much harder than you thought it would, and is it easier being the opposition party?
No, it hasn't, because, you know, from my professional background, I've worked with large organisations over a long period of time, and I know what it means to come in and make changes to 2,500, 3,000 people strong organisation. You're not going to be able to do it overnight. It takes a while of bedding in, everybody getting used to each other, working with each other. So I think that's just to be expected, but people that know me will also understand that I don't give up easily, if at all, to be honest. It's working your way around the problems that get in front of you, making things happen, and that's what we've been doing. So being in the opposition, I think that we did a really good job of that, and I think that actually in opposition we understood what was going on within the organisation. There haven't been that many surprises to us. So really, that learning period, now we're in the implementation of it, and so it's different, there's no doubt about it, but is it easier, harder? I don't think there is an answer to that, to be honest.
That's interesting, because you know, maybe, I suppose, one of the things that Jackie was hinting at here was, is it easier to criticise the people who are actually having to deliver on it and run the council than it is to actually make the decisions themselves and make sure everything's going in the direction that you want?
I suppose it depends in what way you criticise. I think if you criticise just for the sake of it, then yes, because you have no intention of making a change and making things better. But that's never the position that we've come from. So we were looking for real areas that we thought were the weaknesses within what the city and the council was doing within the city. And we've looked to take those on and make changes in them. So, you know, this is a full process, and none of it's taken lightly at all.
I mean, when you watch government down in Westminster, there's a lot of sniping done for political gain. Surely that happens in council level, surely.
Yes, it does. But I think that isn't really what our game is. Our game is wanting to make the city better for the people and the residents of York, the council taxpayers. And it's our job, when we're in opposition, to hold the administration to account. And now that we, as I said, we understand where we saw those weaknesses, and quite a lot of it has played out to be true. I can't remember if I mentioned to you quite a large experience of my time in power now is that when I have been out visiting with really influential organisations, people across the city, they are so glad to have political leadership. Pete and I have been turning up, speaking to people, trying to push projects forward, giving our vision for the city, and the organisations have been saying to us, thank goodness that we have this political leadership that we just haven't had for a period of time. So I think that there will be places where that happens, there's no doubt about it, Wayne. I cannot deny it. But that is not our primary aim at all. It's to get things done and do it well.
We've had a wide range of questions, as you can imagine, from listeners, and we can only pick a few out. And apologies to people who maybe we don't get the chance to ask their question today. We had a very, very long and detailed email, actually, from Neil and Jenny Chadwick. No relation to you. This is weird, this, isn't it? We've had somebody called Douglas and somebody called Chadwick.
Have we got a Parker family coming on?
I'll try and find one later on if we possibly can. But they're taxi drivers, and they're asking about the council's policy on wheelchair accessible taxis. And I suppose the summary of their question is, why are the regulations from City of York Council taxi licensing made to be so out of reach for wheelchair accessible licensed vehicles?
No, I don't proclaim to be an expert on that particular piece of policy. But what I would say is that it's important that people with wheelchairs can travel around our city, and we need to make sure that the means of doing that is in place, whether they want to travel on public transport or in a taxi or to get around the streets. And we have committed to making that possible. Yeah, I can certainly look into that for Mr. Chadwick. That's no problem.
Angela Reynolds is in Holgate, and she says, I'm now just into my 60s. I've seen governments come and go. Labour always used to spend lots of money. Am I going to be paying more council tax this time next year?
Council tax continues to go up year on year, and there is no getting away from it that council and local authority budgets across the country are under severe pressure due to inflation and other costs that absolutely have to be absorbed. People will also understand that since COVID, the demand for services in adult social care and also for children's services have gone through the roof. So I cannot say that council tax will be frozen at all. It's really tough, and I do understand the challenges households are under, but we must deliver for the most vulnerable in our city. And the people of York have expectation that we'll continue to deliver services for them. And that includes making sure that their bins are collected as they expect, or keeping our streets clean. In fact, people want these things improved, and that doesn't happen on thin air. So
I was going to say, is that always a problem that you come across, which is that council taxpayers are very demanding, and if their bins don't get emptied 1 week, then they're maybe quite rightly saying, what happened to the bin collections this week, and so on and so forth. But then there's the realisation that actually those things cost money, in the same way that you and I have to go out to the shops and pay whatever the prices are there, then the council has to pay the going rate for whatever services it's paying for as well.
Yes, nothing comes free, does it? Indeed. I wish it did. We all have hopes and aspirations for our city, and it's a fantastic place to live in, isn't it? But there are services that the council must deliver, and there are people that must be paid to deliver those as well, and we have to pay for it, and I can't apologise for that.
You have to balance the books as well, don't you?
Yes, local authorities have to, by law, present a balanced budget. We can't go into deficit, and this is really challenging. Demand is going through the roof, and I cannot be more clear about that. We have a £10 million hole in our budget this year, and we have to find a way of filling that. It just is irresponsible not to. So there are really difficult financial decisions to be made across the city, and this has been avoided in the past, but we can't go on avoiding it.
Is £10 million an average?
Across the country?
Yes.
No, it's not. In some places it is far, far higher.
I mean, it's obviously pro rata to population, of course, so it has to be apples with apples. But in York, is there always a hole and then you have to sort of fine-tune it?
The hole in the budget has been growing, without doubt. So in the past, it's been possible to fill it from reassigning money from other parts of the budget or taking money out of some form of reserves, but we don't have that anymore. It's very difficult.
The reserves can only be spent once,
yes,
can't they? That's the problem with it. Are there still some restrictions placed by the government on what the maximum increases in council tax are allowed to be? I know there were for a number of years. Are they still in place?
Yes, absolutely.
So you're obviously working as well on what you've got in reserve and the restrictions that are put in centrally. And then if you can only increase the council tax by a certain amount, and you obviously don't really want to do that anyway, then you've still got to find the money to pay for the core services. Because presumably some of the services that the council provides are services that it's a legal requirement to provide.
Absolutely. And those legal requirements, and the biggest portion of our budget, is children's services and also adult social care.
Let's move on to another question. Brendan sent us a couple of questions, actually. Most of them connected with improving air quality, and his starting point is, how important is improving air quality to the new council? He quotes the Inner Ring Road, says he thinks it's not fit for purpose, unacceptable pollution on streets like Gillygate. Are there any plans to kind of regulate traffic volumes to try and alleviate that? And what are your thoughts on things like the ULEZ scheme in London, the ultra low emission zone kind of thing, bearing in mind what people generally think happened with the Uxbridge by-election?
We've all, I think, known that congestion in York and getting around York has been a problem for many years. People constantly complain about the traffic, don't they? And also, for those of us that have walked down Gillygate, or people that live around or work around that area, it's absolutely a problem for them. And our view on traffic management is that ad hoc interventions, which is what we've had in the city to this date, so closing a road here or putting in a restriction there, doesn't work because it pushes the problem elsewhere. And so what we're in the process of doing at this point in time, and should have been done a number of years ago, in fact, is to put together a local transport plan. It needs to be refreshed again. There's an imperative on this because we will have an elected mayor in May 2024, and it's a requirement that we have a local transport strategy that will go to that mayor ready for the combined authority. So Pete Kilbane, who's our executive member with responsibility for transport, is currently working with officers on the new local transport plan. We expect it to be going out to consultation in the autumn, and there will be, as I've said previously, nothing's off the table. We've got a problem we need to solve that's around congestion and air quality, and also our carbon emissions within the city. So we need to consider everything. But on the other hand, I'm also acutely aware of this needs to be done fairly. So people are struggling financially. The cost of living crisis is hitting more and more people. And we don't think that it's fair that people who have less money should be penalised for needing to move around the city. So our plans are to do it in ways that doesn't bring in additional cost for people.
So you wouldn't really consider, you don't think, something like a ULEZ where there's a charge for higher polluting vehicles for coming into the city?
It's not something that we are actively considering at this point in time, no.
Sticking on the roads, and we had a few questions about this as well. Amy is talking about, well she says the A1237 is a mess, always has been. The city is full of roadworks and no one talks to each other to plan them. And then Jerry's point is about the Low Petergate closure that's just been lifted just recently, and then says that, and a couple of days after it was opened, then somebody turned up and dug up the road and it was almost closed again. So the question is, why is there no coordination amongst roadworks and activities that need to take place across the city?
It's certainly something that everybody needs to get better at. There are a number of factors playing into this. One was a delay in decision making before the election. The Liberal Democrats and Greens stopped making decisions about important roadworks that needed to be done, and so they have all started in June, essentially. And again, Councillor Kilbane spoke to the press about this, and there were a number of media articles that went out to explain to everybody that these are important pieces of work that have to be done. And he, you know, unfortunately, the pain has to be suffered in order for the longer term gain. So we hope that some of that will start to ease. But there are other important projects coming through, like dropping of the Queen Street Bridge. We're also, you know, there are other things that will need to be done. So, it's just a fact of living in a vibrant city, really, a developing city. The other factor that always plays into this, it is very frustrating for people, is that the utility companies don't communicate with the council appropriately. And so trying to coordinate when the roads get dug up for, say, replacing water mains or gas mains and doing repairs, that doesn't work well. It needs to work a whole lot better.
Talking about digging up, there's a lot of hoo-ha going on in Acombe at the moment, isn't there, with what a load of bollards. And what's happening there? And are those bollards that were placed by the previous administration going to be removed? And is it going to be at great cost if that's happening?
That's a big problem. The community, obviously and quite rightly, are not happy with how it looks now with all the bollards that were put in. That was money that came from the UK Shared Prosperity Fund, which is an allocation of central government money that comes to York. And in our view, that was inappropriately spent doing something that the community were not aligned with. So the money is spent now. They are in. There is going to be a phase two of the improvements. I say that in, you know, with a wry smile on my face, that the improvements to Acombe Front Street. But the next phase needs to consider what the community want, and the council officers will be consulting with the community to make sure that that is listened to and acted upon. And there is some additional money there to make changes. But you're absolutely right. They should never have all gone in the first place.
Was there a consultation process?
Not for that piece of work.
Should there have been?
Yes.
Right.
One final question, different subject here, but this is back to one of the pledges that you made ahead of the election. And this is on the free school meals side of things. How are you getting on with that? There's a suggestion from Leslie Drake, who sent this in, that she's heard that it wasn't going to happen now. Is that true?
No, that's not true. That's what the Liberal Democrats keep saying. And you were talking earlier about political posturing, Wayne, and I think that's what this is. We are absolutely going to deliver on this. We're working with the schools at the moment to understand what capacity they have in their kitchens, because of course to actually deliver free school meals takes a kitchen and staff, and that is done. We understand that 75% of the schools in York have the facilities that are needed. The other element to it is making sure that those children in York who qualify for free school meals can actually claim them and are registered. So we're in the process of putting in an auto-enrolment scheme as well, so that every child who qualifies will be enrolled. And this also brings in additional money for the schools through pupil premium payments, which will be spent on the education of the children. So it's a win-win process.
So there'll be some sort of means test.
So that's the government-run system.
But right.
Not within York, no.
Right, no. Okay, but you will have to go through a process so you can determine which families can't afford the free meals. Is that correct?
What we're trying to do is to make sure that the city is minimising the number of children that we have to pay for out of our own pocket to receive free school meals. So it's important that we do that. There'll be those who qualify for the government funding who aren't getting it at the moment, and there will be those who are in families who can afford to pay and want to afford to pay, and we're also putting in a scheme so that they can continue to pay. So therefore we minimise the number that us as a city, the council and other partners will be paying for, and we want to get that right. And then the other aspect of it is the fundraising, and we've got close to a commitment from a very large employer in the city on committing to that as well. We're working with the University of York on a campaign so that we can bring the whole city in and make it a very positive, optimistic thing that everybody out there can participate in. So, you know, this is another one of I wish I could click my fingers and it would happen, but we're getting on with it, and we hope to be putting free school meals into primary schools by January. Everybody who's out there would be invited to participate in the campaign, and I hope Y01 will be keen to do that as
well. How do you protect vulnerable children whose who, you know, you don't want them to stand out, do you, if they've got a free meal? Because you know what kids can be like, let's be honest with you. They can be pretty naughty at times. It needs to be invisible. Does that make sense?
Yes, no, yes, absolutely. This has been a long-standing challenge with children in school that, you know, it can be stigmatising that your friend or somebody who's not your friend knows that you get free school meals, and that's what we want to take away. So that's why we're building this
some sort of process as well.
Yeah, a process to make sure
nobody knows.
Yes, yeah, absolutely. It's really important. And you know, around free school meals, it's absolutely known, the research shows educational outcomes and health outcomes in the long term, right through into adulthood, are really, really beneficial. If children are fed well, no surprises, they do well at school and they are healthier.
Claire, we could ask you questions all day long. We only have a limited amount of time, and our apologies to any of our listeners on subjects that we didn't touch on. We will keep a note of all the questions that we get asked, and in future meetings we can talk about some more. Are there any issues at the moment that we haven't covered that you want to give our listeners any kind of update on?
Yeah, I think just to say, really, it's even with the challenges that we all are facing in our finances, living in York continues to be a great experience for the vast majority of our residents. But there are those that we know it's not so great for. And our administration is really focused on making sure it's great for everybody. And the opportunities that are coming through into York are fantastic. You know, York Central is moving forward. I'm really keen that we provide political leadership to put our vision about health, green spaces, affordable housing, sustainability through into that development as well, and that we bring good quality jobs that pay everybody the wages that they need to afford to live in our city. And the response I'm getting from our PIT partners across the city is absolutely fantastic. I'm really optimistic about this. We're getting on with delivering affordable housing in the city. Again, a great response from our partners on this. So I think the outlook is really optimistic.
Am I correct in saying there's an initiative with Persimmon Homes bubbling away at the moment?
Yes, Persimmon are being really proactive in a number of areas around delivering affordable housing and partnering with housing associations to do that. So Councillor Pavlovic was down at Germany Beck with them very recently, so that we are absolutely over the moon. And they're not on their own. We've got a lot of our local developers who are very committed to delivering the vision that my administration has for bringing more affordable housing into York. We're very excited about it. And, you know, our large employers, and Persimmon is one, want to invest in our city in other ways as well, and we're helping them to do that. So that's where I say it's very optimistic.
Councillor Claire Douglas, Leader of City of York Council, thanks very much indeed for joining us again at Y1 Radio today. We'll speak to you again as normal in a couple of months' time, if that's okay with you.
Absolutely, and thanks for inviting me. It's been a joy.
Thanks very much. Thanks, Claire.